And today we're going to be talking about thinking according to truth. Now, right now, it's still very much the beginning of the year. Amen? And, you know, it is also the beginning of the rest of your life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Amen? Because we are further along now than we were in the past. But think about it. And I'm going to speak for myself just for a moment. As for my own self, what I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I want to experience more of God. I want to experience the promises of God fulfilled in my life. And more importantly, I want to accomplish more of what God has planned and ordered for my life. I want to get a hold of those things that for the very reason for which God got a hold of me. I want to be a greater blessing to the kingdom of God, to you, to my family, to the purposes of God. And I'm believing that this is your desire also. But in order for that to come to pass, there's a couple of things needs to happen. I got to come up higher. I must come up higher in my walk with God. And when we're talking about our walk with God, yes, we're talking about walking in the light, walking in the spirit, but we're also talking about walking in truth. I got to function, and so do you, more proficiently in the very nature of Christ. I need to be who I am on the inside. I need to be that way on the outside. Amen? Now, what is required of me? What is required of you? There needs to be a relentless pursuit and a pressing towards the mark, towards the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And I trust that you feel this way also. And if you feel this way, wonderful. This word is for you today. And if for any reason you don't, then may God light your candle, enlighten you, and may God just put a passion of pursuit for His fellowship, and to just come up high. May God work within you by the power of His Holy Ghost, of His Spirit, that you would hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen? All right. Now, like I said, in today's message, it is about first things first, and specifically, thinking according to the truth. Thinking according to the truth. The third epistle of John, read it from verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers, just as your mind, your will, your thinking and your emotions, your disposition, your attitudes, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly," and this is God speaking, "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and they testified of the truth that is in you. And just as you walk in the truth, God says, I have no greater joy but that to hear that my children walk in truth." God says there is nothing that excites me more. There's nothing that gives me greater pleasure but that to know that my children walk in truth and that the truth is in you. Now, what is the truth? The truth, very simply, is this. It is, number one, what Jesus is in you. Jesus is the truth. Amen? What Jesus is, not just what he was, in you is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is what Jesus finished. Or let's put it this way. The truth is what Jesus did and is already done. Very important. What is the truth? The truth is what Jesus is doing in you right now. And I'll give you a hint. What Jesus is doing in you right now and desires to do is bring fulfillment to what he has already done. Did you get that? So God says there is nothing that gets me more excited, that gives me greater pleasure, but that to know that my children are walking in truth. Hallelujah. Now in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 it says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he's got to think truth if he's going to walk in truth. Proverbs 4:23 in the King James says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, the Good News translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Can I go a little further? Your future is going to be shaped by your thoughts. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what I want to do, and what I'm desiring, and I believe by the Spirit of God to accomplish, is to share with you and communicate with you a mindset, a mentality that you need to have in order for first things to be first and in order for you to, for first thing to be first, for you to be able to function in this capacity and in this truth that will bring you to the top, that will cause you to be above only and not beneath. The truth is you are above only and not beneath. But that needs to be so experientially. Amen? This mentality, what is this mindset? Paul said, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, that I may win Christ, and that I might be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, my own goodness, based on my own works and based on my own law keeping, but that I might be found in Christ, having the very righteousness of God in Christ. Paul said, that's the mindset I have, and that's his pursuit. Now, let me turn to Romans chapter 11 and read a few verses. We want to capture this mindset. There has to be a pursuit. There has to be a hunger. There has to be a total surrender. There has to be a yieldedness. There has to be a hunger for truth. There has to be a freedom from the opinions of men. Romans chapter 11, from reading from verse 36. It says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Talking about Jesus. Everything is for him, through him, by him, and to him be all the glory forever and ever. That being the case, that he is the head. The fullness of the Godhead dwells within him. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Without him there was nothing made that was made. In everything he is to have preeminence. He is Lord over all. The fullness dwells in him. That being the case, all grace is in him. Christ is all grace. All the grace that there is, all the grace and enablement and empowerment and sufficiency and supply you could ever need, Jesus is. Of his fullness we have received grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the very embodiment and the fullness of grace. So, For in him, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your body. Present all of your faculties. Present everything that you are, everything that you have. Present it all to him as a living sacrifice. This is your worship to God. This is reasonable. It is a reasonable expectation and request of God. For you have been bought with a price, and you are not your own. You are not your own. There is nothing that you have that you have not received. You can of yourself do nothing. And apart from him, and we know nothing. Everything that we are is because of him and is due him. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, number one. And number two, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold of this world and the way they think and the way they operate and the way they are. And number three, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove and experience, have the very experience of what's God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. But you cannot be conformed to this world. For in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For in the world is selfish motivation. For in the world it's about I and me and my. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And this life that I now live, it is the life of Christ, and I live it by the faith of the Son of God. As we let that word and that verse, Galatians 2:20, become us, become our testimony, become our life, then there is no longer any I, there is no longer me. I have come to an end, and everything connected to I and me has come to an end, crucified, buried. Now it has been replaced with the very life of Christ. It is the very life of Christ. We are God's holy temple. God takes up residence here. And he wants that residence in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, in all of your being. You see, the scripture says where the world is concerned, Paul said in Galatians 6 verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified and is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. We don't talk to each other. We don't have a relationship. We are separated. We are divorced. Where the world is concerned. Hallelujah. By the death and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus says in John 17, verse 14 and 16, yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Therefore, we are not to be conformed to them. By them, we are not to be defined by them, nor are we to receive any of their limitations. Hallelujah. Now, you see, here is what it is. Now, let's get to this issue of your thinking. Don't be conformed to this world, but change your thinking. Let your thinking be according to the word of God. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. What is that all about? Why is that? Now, let's think about the world for a moment. The scripture says in Ephesians 4, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and this is so that we could grow up in love, so that we can grow up in the character of God, so that we could grow up in this realm where there is no self. Perfect love casts out self. Amen. So Ephesians 4 verse 17 says, this I say therefore and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, that's those people that were without God, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, their way of thinking. You see, the word of God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. But he didn't leave us there. He says, I send my word, and it will not return unto me void. Receive my word, and you can receive my thoughts. But you are not to be to have the thoughts of the world. Because the thoughts and the thinking of the world is futility. It is vain. So he says, have a change. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of my word. How does the world think? The world is selfish. The world has nothing's wrong with money, but there is the love of money. The world pursues things. The world is concerned about what do I eat? What do I drink? What do I wear? What do I put on? What's going to happen tomorrow? You say, well, aren't we like that too? No, we're not supposed to be. We know who holds the future. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. Our timing is in God. The Lord goes before us. Amen? And he plants us in his pathways. We are not to be anxious about anything whatsoever. Jesus says, don't take any thought saying. In the world, you see, we are partakers of God's divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why? That we might partake of his divine nature. Take the aspect of the divine nature that we need, whether it be healing, whether it be peace of mind, whether it be wisdom, whether it be prosperity. I've given unto you these great and precious promises so that you can access and take the part of the divine nature that is rightfully yours and escape. Escape what? The corruption and the decay that is in the world. And then it adds true lust. It is because of the selfish motivation of the world that is their problem. But we are not to be like that. Amen? Because of lust, because of self, because of greed. That's the spirit of the world. Amen? So there is a big difference between you and the world, between us and the world. And the biggest difference is this. We are partakers of his divine nature. You have got the nature of God on the inside of you. The nature of God is not one of self, selfishness, greed, or an anxiety and fear, or any other such thing. We have got the nature of God. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And eternal life is the nature of God, that you might know, that you might be conscious and aware of the reality that you have eternal life. And it will go on to say, and this is the confidence, that whatever we ask according to his will. What is the confidence? The confidence is I got eternal life. Say, I got God's nature. That's the big difference between you and the world. And because of that, and you see, in having God's nature, you also, the old nature that the world still has, you've been set free from. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, right, know ye not, you need to know this, that the old man was what? Crucified with Christ. So that the body of sin might be destroyed. So that the body might no longer do body things. But that the body could now be presented as a living sacrifice. The old man has been crucified. The world doesn't have that. There are differences. The kingdom of God that ruleth over all dwells within us. Is that true? Amen? So there's a different expectation that we are not to be as the world. We are not to walk in the futility and the vanity of the mind that the world has. But we are to be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove and experience what is God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. So that we can enjoy and experience what it is that God has ordained for us from before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Question, how can you put first things first? How can you put first things first? How can you put first things first? Can I answer that? Walk in the truth. Find out what the truth is and walk in it. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. Say truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the debt that he died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives, He lives to God. You, that applies to you. You and I died in Christ once. And we died to sin. We died to that self. We died to that greed. We died to that old nature. And now we live, and we live to God. Verse 11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Reckon yourself. Do the calculation. Do the mathematics. And come up to this and reckon that this is how it is. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to self. To self. To that old man. But you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. Walking that truth out is how you can be put God first and really come to absolute freedom. Matthew chapter 6. Now I encourage you to go read all of Matthew chapter 6, but I'm going to pick it up at verse 24. Jesus says, this is Jesus. This is the master teacher. Glory to God. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either, that's Matthew chapter 6, 24, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Amplified says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. This issue of mammon has to do with where is your trust. Are you trusting the money you have in the bank, or are you trusting God as your source? Are you trusting your own ability, or are you trusting the power of God that can work through you? Is it your might? Is it your power? Or is it the might and the power of the Spirit of God? Paul says, these things I've written unto you. Well, not exactly that. But he says, I've come to you with fear and trembling. And I've come and I've demonstrated certain things for this purpose. So that your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Say the power of God. Praise the Lord. So it says then, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have this split where your trust is concerned. Your trust must be in God. Let your trust be entirely in God. Let your confidence be in Christ. Now listen to Jeremiah 17 verse 5. It says, cursed is the man who trusts in men and who makes flesh his strength. Who trusts in the arm of flesh? Who makes flesh his strength? The scripture says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the reality and the revelation of the riches of this inheritance, Christ in you ought to fill our hearts with a confident expectation of the goodness of God and of manifestation. In other words, it's Christ in me that gives me this hope no matter what I'm dealing with. That's where my trust is. Amen? You can't serve God and mammon. Now let's continue. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. So therefore I say to you, do not worry. Say, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. In other words, you know what he just said there? You know what he just said? When he said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You know what he said? He's saying, don't be need dominated. Don't be need dominated. Don't be need dominated. All right. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap. Remember, we are talking about thinking truth. Thinking according to the word of God. Don't be need dominated. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you by worrying, anxious thoughts can add one cubit to his stature. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, he was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God, our Father, so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, the grass which is temporal, the birds which are temporal, but how about us who are eternal? Really not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Oh, you of little faith. In other words, then, being consumed and need dominated is little faith. Therefore, don't worry. Say, don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, saying. Don't worry, saying. Oh, what a temptation it is to say. What a temptation it is to be seduced by those thoughts and be invoked and provoked by the enemy to speak according to that need, from that need domination. Therefore, don't worry saying, what am I going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Because all these things the Gentiles seek. That's how the Gentiles think. That's how they operate. That's the vanity of their mind. Don't be like them. Don't be conformed like them. Don't be thinking about that. Don't let that dominate your thinking. Set your affections on the things which are above, not on the things that are earthly, not on the things which are horizontal. These things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But what should you do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. The Gentiles do that. They worry about tomorrow. Say, I'm not worried about anything. It's not in my spiritual DNA. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Just a few observations. Don't worry. Worry, anxiety, need is seeking the way of the world. And that is the root of what has, that is the root of the world. That is the root of self. And quite frankly, I know we think about lust in some other sexual way, but this is lust. Self-motivation. Listen to this verse. Have we ever heard James chapter 4, verse 2? You have not because you ask not. Right? I mean, we ought to ask. But then verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. What's wrong with that? That you may spend it on your own pleasures. The Amplified says that you might spend it in sensual pleasures. Another version says that you might consume it on your own lusts. So here prayers are not being answered. Why? Because of the need domination that is coming from a place of self. The very thing that Jesus came, went to the cross to put an end to. All right. So we're asking God to resurrect what he wants to kill. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. So this curse, no, this is the statement that I'm pondering. But nevertheless, the curse of man is working and depending on the sweat of his brow. That's a curse. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, we are not of the circumcision, or rather we are of the circumcision that worship God in spirit and in truth and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? All right. Now the nature of God in you is the very nature of God. Man, that's a good one. The nature of God in you is the nature of God. Anyway. The nature of God, unlike that curse that comes when you are sweating, unlike that curse, sweat was a symbol of the curse if you go back to the garden. But the nature of God adds. Seek first the kingdom of God, and what happened? All these things shall be what? Added. Say addition. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. Addition. You shall eat the good of the land if you be willing and obedient. Do you know why? Because obedience is the nature of your born-again spirit. The nature of your born-again spirit is not choice. Choice is from your humanity. Choice is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Choice is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Obedience is from the tree of life. Man is a free moral agent. That's the world's way of thinking that has been bought by the church. Amen? Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So obedience is the nature of your born-again spirit, and the nature of God adds. So let's pause for a minute and consider what? You are crucified. You're crucified. It is no longer you here, but it is what? It is Christ. It is the life of Christ that is now your life. It is Christ that is living in you. It is Christ that wants to dominate you. It is Christ that wants to live through you. It is Christ that wants you to be filled with all of his fullness. It is Christ that wants to rule and so that you have the mind of Christ. Where you speak as an oracle of Christ. Christ wants to be, you need to be, that is why I said, this is what we are pursuing. This is the relentless pursuit. This is the mark. This is where we're going. We want to apprehend that for which God has apprehended us. Filled with all of his fullness. Christ, so consider you've been crucified. It's no longer you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. And the life you now live is the life of Christ. Consider Galatians 3:27. Those that have been baptized into Christ. I'm misquoting it nevertheless. It's basically, when you are baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You put on Christ. You are clothed with Christ. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Let me give you my Kleenex again. Can I give you the Kleenex thingy? Here you are. Here is Jesus. And here you are having the same type of DNA. Because as he is, so are you in this world. But now your life is hid with Christ in God. And you and him together is us. It's no longer you. It's no longer me. It's no longer I. It's no longer my. It's us. And what is this us? It's Christ and you. You and him being one. You and him, him and you. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. So Galatians 2:20 is saying, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in you. Now, when you recognize that it's you and him are one, oneness, that's righteousness. Oneness with God in Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 15:34 says. Awake to righteousness. Awake to that oneness and sin not. Awake to that oneness and stop coming short of the glory. Stop coming short of what it is that God has for us. Stop living in a place of disconnect, of separation, but live in this place of oneness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. So you and I must develop and have a consciousness of oneness, a consciousness of righteousness. When we don't have that, you see, the opposite to living in that consciousness of oneness is having this sense of separation, sin, self. That is sin consciousness. So it's not about I. Okay, I'll rephrase that. When we are thinking I, me, my, we are having a consciousness, a sin consciousness, and a separation consciousness. We are to be thinking us. I want to say us, I don't mean us, the body of Christ. There is an element to that. It's wonderful when brethren dwell together in unity. But I'm talking about us, you and Jesus. You and Jesus, your life hid with Christ in God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He is the vine, we are the branches. The essence of your born again spirit has been created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4, 24. The Lord showed me something last week. It was in a Bible study. It was a Bible study my wife was doing. And whatever it is. Anyway, and I read this scripture. When I read this scripture, I heard something. I read Ephesians 3, verse 20. And it says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. God is able to do above and beyond whatsoever we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And in a snapshot, the Lord brought to me the revelation of us and Jesus, that oneness. Not me, not you, us. And so the Lord was saying to me, listen to the scripture. God is able to do above and beyond whatever we ask or think. I mean beyond our imagination. But it is according to that power that worketh within us. That power that worketh within us can do above and beyond. But that power, that there is nothing that power cannot do. So what else would the Lord show me is that if we would function in that us, there will be no failure. Never a failure, ever, if we function in that us. Not I, not me, but me and him. My life hid with Christ in God. And if you go, and I encourage you, do it. Read the epistles and read all the us in the context of us. With that understanding. He's given unto us great and precious promises. That by these we might be partakers. Who we? Me and him. In other words, he wants this. He wants to take up residence. He says, look, if you love me and you obey me and my Father, we're going to come and we're going to make our home, our dwelling with you. We'll take over. We'll run the show. He's given us great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers. We can take whatever part of the divine nature we need. Is it healing? What is it? We can take it. We can draw it out. Us, say us. Haluka man, esikadabaya. So, that nature is the source. Capture this. That nature itself is the source of every provision. It is the source of all healing. It is the source of all deliverance. It is the source of all prosperity. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Okay, 9. Much more them, having now been justified by his blood, will be saved by wrath, from wrath through him. But listen to verse 10. If, when we were enemies, wicked in our minds, enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through his death. When we were enemies, we were reconciled how? Through his death. Says his death. Through his death. Oh, and that powerful in and of itself. But much more than that, more than being reconciled to him while we were enemies by his death, much more than that, having now been reconciled. Are you reconciled? Are you born again? So much more than, however you measure being reconciled because of his death, well, more than that, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved, healed, delivered, prosper by his life. Christ in you is the hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Can you see that? That nature is the source. Therefore, Jesus says, don't be concerned about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and about this and about that and about. Just pursue this kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just get a hold of that nature and everything else will be added. I remember the Lord told me this one time. I was 2015, I think it was, coming down the Red Hill Creek. It was a simple little thing, not a big deal. I went and I'd got my car, had some strange little thing, song happening, and I kind of ignored it. And I just went for routine oil change. And during the oil change, the guy came to me and says, oh, by the way, I found this particular problem with your car, right? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, and he said, anyway, I fix it. This is how much it costs. And it wasn't much. I said, oh, thank you. Appreciate it. That evening, I was coming, it was a Wednesday night, I was coming down here to church from midweek Bible study. And as I'm driving down, I was telling my wife about it. And the Lord said to me, there is a place where you can live. And if you learn to live there, there are things you won't even have to pray about. You remember that? I thought, oh, really? Oh, yeah, it sounds good. A place you can live. And in this place, if you function there correctly, you're not going to have to pray about certain things. And you know where that place is? Right here. Righteousness. Righteousness. Oneness with God. Living in that place of righteousness. Living in that authority. Living in this place of your rights. Where you're heir of God. And he is your father. And you have access to all that he has. This place of righteousness. In this place, it just gets added unto you. Because it is the nature of God that is all provision. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His nature answers all. Seek first the kingdom. So here is the deal. Sin and sickness is not supposed to rule over you. Poverty and lack is not supposed to rule over us. Why? Because of Romans 6 verse. Well, you can see Jesus put an end to it by his death. And now we've got his life. To bring what? To cause a continual flow of salvation and healing and deliverance. It is the key to living in divine health and not being sick. Having a life flowing continually. Romans 6 verse 14 says, "You are that sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law but under grace." It's no longer based on your works. You're under grace. So it's not about, I want. Remember? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? I want. It's not I want. I need. But what is it? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. It's not it's not about what I want anyway and what I need. I'm not here. I'm crucified, remember? It's us. So it's about what he wants. It's about what he desires. It's about his need. He's got a need. He wants souls. It's about his purpose. It's about his will. It is not this. You see, the consuming with oneself is the spirit of the world. You see, if the devil can keep you all tangled up with need, man, all he got to do is keep popping up needs, and he'll carry you along like, what did they call it? I mean, he just lead you anywhere he wants to by just causing need to pop up in your life. In the meantime, God has said, this is how you shut those needs down. Function in my righteousness. Don't look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen. Don't set your affections on the things that are beneath. Set your affections on the things which are above. Don't be need dominated. Be righteousness conscious. Pursue righteousness. And everything else will be added. Now, I'm going to make a couple of statements as I head for the landing strip. And a few of them might be startling. But remember, we want to come up higher. We want to think like Jesus. For after all, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, everything that Jesus finished and did and accomplished in his sacrifice, everything that Jesus did, accomplished, finished in his sacrifice, listen to this, is functional in his nature. All right, hold on. Just wait. Kathy, you're going to get it. Everything Jesus finished, accomplished in his sacrifice, that which he's finished is at work in his nature. It is functional in his nature. That is why his nature will take care of everything. What do I mean? It is like you have it. It's like you have it, and you can be it. All right. Let's deal with sick. Let's use sickness as an example. Jesus ended sickness and disease, right? He ended it. He bore in his own body, he ended it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So freedom from sickness, freedom, that freedom from sickness is in that nature. His nature is life. His nature is immortality. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. That says, I called you with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to my own purpose. And I give you grace to bring it full, to cause it to be fulfilled. And then he says, here's when it comes to pass, at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. When Christ in us, that nature in us, begins to unfold and is revealed. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, that light, no, life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. But the gospel is Christ in you. So life and immortality comes to the surface and is made manifest. How? Because of Christ in you. Why? Because the nature of Christ, that deliverance from sickness and disease is in the very nature. Say amen, somebody. So, but you see now, So that is why now, for instance, righteousness is the nature of God. Righteousness is the nature of the born again spirit. Proverbs 11 verse 4, you know what it says? Righteousness delivers from death. 1 Peter 2:24, being dead to sin, that you live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Righteousness, live unto righteousness, that nature, by whose stripes you were healed. So this is functional in the very nature. Romans 8 verse 10, that your body is dead because of sin. Oh yes, the outward man perish and decays, but the inner man, glory to God, he's renewed day by day. So even though the body is dead because of sin, your spirit is life. The very life and nature of God because of righteousness, because of that union. And if the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body, by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What am I saying? I'm saying that the nature of God, all that Jesus finished on the cross in his sacrifice, is functional in his nature. So I don't have to deal with a problem. I don't have to deal with that. I just have to function in his nature. You see, when we pray, when we counsel, when we deal with problems, we don't pray the problem. We don't pray the need. We pray the answer. God says, my word, come, let us reason together. Remind me of what I've said. What is he saying? Bring me my word. Why, Lord? Because it's not going to return to me void. But it ain't going to return to me if you're not going to send it to me. If you're not going to bring it. So you don't deal with the problem. You're not dealing with the need. You seek first his kingdom. No, I'm not saying that if you have a broken thing and you need to put your hand in a sling, that you don't do that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if you need to take an aspirin to get some temporary relief, you don't do. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying let your focus, let your eye be single and your whole body will be full of light. Let your focus be the nature of God. Functioning in that nature. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus defeated the curse of poverty, of lack in his death. For curse is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. So what happened? In his life, there is the freedom from the curse of poverty and lack. Hence, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was rich, he became poor. Why? That you through his poverty might be made rich. So when we grasp that and we see that the nature is the answer, it's functional, then you know what? And Christ is in us. Oh, we have a hope of glory. We have a hope of glory. We have a confident expectation that we're going to have manifestation. Amen. So we are not to think illness. We are not to think, we are to think wellness. I have a friend, a particular person that was dealing with some health issues and was talking to God, and God told them, because they were fighting, I mean, symptoms after symptoms, and the Lord told them this. He said, think, don't think illness, think wellness. Why is that? The scripture says, Psalm 103 and verse 2, forget not all his benefits, who forgive all thy iniquities and heal all thy diseases. Well, if you're not going to forget those benefits, it means they got to be in the forefront of your thinking. It means you got to think wellness. Don't think sickness. You know, one of these days I'm going to teach something that the Lord has put in my heart, but I'm not released to teach it. Quite frankly, maybe I need more revelation on it, but it's simply this. I'll still throw it out there. Anybody, if you get out of your catches, you can catch it. But the key to living in divine health is how you think. It's your thinking. That is the key. If you don't think sickness and there is no thought, the devil can never make you sick. But anyway, that's another message. But anyway, let's move. So don't think illness, think wellness. Don't think lack. Don't think lack. Think grace, think abundance. The Lord is my what? I shall not what? Think that way. He daily loads me with what? My God shall supply what? All of my needs. How? Defasco? Stelco? No. According to his riches. By the sweat of your brow? No. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The nature of Christ in you destroys the works of the devil. You see, Christ is not just in you just to be there. He is in you as the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth that is in you. What he has finished is the truth. And what he is doing in you is the truth. He is in you doing, bringing fulfillment to what he's already done. That's why he's living in you. He's not living in you just to be there. Philippians 3 verse 20 and 21 says that if you would order your conversation according to heaven and let your language be right and you're believing and you're thinking right, Christ that is in you will rise up and he will exert power and make anything that is rebellious to you or to your body be crushed so that your body could become like his glorious body. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. He is in you to destroy the works of the devil. Let me say something to you, and I don't mean to discourage anybody. But the truth of the matter is, the devil has been defeated, right? Yes. Sickness, disease, and all of that has been defeated, right? And it's all underneath your feet. But you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 to 26. 26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's not destroyed yet. And his friends aren't yet. But we have authority over them. They're underneath our feet. But we got to subdue them. You've got to subdue them. So Christ is in you. What for? To destroy the works of the enemy and to subdue them. But he cannot do it without you. But when we walk in the truth, who he is, what he has done, and what he is doing, and we believe and we speak. And as it says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 14. When you walk upright and correctly in the gospel. In the truth of the gospel. It will be done. It will be fulfillment. Say fulfillment. All right. So how does this work? The nature of Christ in you performs what Jesus has already done. That's what Titus 1:3 says. God says, I will fulfill my word through speaking. In other words, when you align with the word and you believe the word and you speak the word and you act like it is so, God says, I'll do it. When you behold who you are and what God has done, then he's responsible for what he has done. The reason why many times people suffer sickness, disease, poverty, lack, is they're talking wrong. They're believing wrong. And the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. He does not confirm error. See, if you're talking about what God is going to do, God is going to heal me. That's not the truth. The truth is you were healed and you are healed. Speak that and the Holy Ghost will rise up. He doesn't confirm half truth. That's not how it works. He is the spirit of truth. That's what he works with. Amen? Hallelujah. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 that the works of God were finished. Done from before the foundation of the world. But then it goes on to say, the gospel preached. It was preached. It was declared. It was communicated. They even heard it. But they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't mix it with believing it, speaking it, thinking according to it, and acting like it. And as a result, it didn't profit them. Amen? Hallelujah. We're almost done. So because, now check this out. Oh, Rebecca Nama. Because we understand what is finished. Because we understand what is done is finished, what is finished is done, and we understand what he did, then guess what? We can call those things that be not as though they were. We're not playing games. We're not in denial. We call those things that be not as though they were because they're done, because they're finished. And when we order our conversation aright, then we will see the salvation of God. Psalms 50 verse 23. So, we believe, we think, we speak, we pray, we minister. How? According to its finish. We pray the answer, not the problem. We function in the nature of Christ. In the nature of Christ, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. In the nature of Christ, you have received all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In the nature of Christ, you are complete. Colossians 2:10. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? God says we are complete in him, and here we are, need conscious. I mean, like, come on here. I know this is kind of, I understand there's a challenge here. All right? But let's make the switch anyway. Let's make the switch first and understand it later. So here is it. Here's another thought, and I got to get this other thought in. Peter also said, I was talking about the life side. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, and I'm bringing this scripture up just for justification, just to help. Peter said that Paul, in his epistles, wrote things that are difficult to understand. This is kind of rough to hear some of these things. But Peter said Paul spoke things that were difficult to understand. Amen? I wish everything could be just A plus B equals what? Does it? Two plus four equals six. I don't know if A plus B equals C, but anyway. Paul wrote things in his epistles that were difficult to understand. That's what Peter said. Now, here is one of those thoughts. Now, listen to this, okay? The curse and the effects of poverty, sickness, disease, which all comes out of the curse and the effect of poverty, sickness, disease was crucified with Christ in his death. So the curse of lack and want is dead and buried with Christ. Now I know that's a different thought because it doesn't match our natural life. But that's what it is. The curse of lack and want is dead and buried with Christ. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, or else he would have probably added that to Matthew chapter 6. Amen. So reckon yourself to be dead indeed in Christ, Romans 6:11. Set your thoughts and your affection in the things above where it is finished. Not beneath. Not based on appearances and situations. Jesus said in Matthew, now listen to this. Jesus says in Matthew 6:31, don't take the thought saying, what are you going to eat or what are you going to drink? Let me put it differently. Don't take the thought or the worry saying, what am I going to eat or what am I going to drink? That is how the Gentiles think. The people that are without God, that's how they think. The people that don't have the divine nature, that's how they think. But Christ is not in them, but Christ is in you. Ephesians 4 verse 18 says, they have their understanding darkened. And as a result, they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. A believer can have the life of God. A believer has the life and the nature of God and the kingdom of God in him. But yet he could be alienated from it because of ignorance and because of blindness of heart. Amen? So, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, don't take the thought that would induce concern, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? God takes care of the birds. He takes care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Pursue righteousness, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Fight the good fight of faith that you might lay a hold on eternal life, that nature of God. Jesus did not say, seek your needs, and the kingdom shall provide it. He didn't say, seek your needs. Go after your needs, and the kingdom will provide it. But he said the opposite. He said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the needs shall be provided. For the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You have the kingdom of God inside of you. You have the nature of God inside of you. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. And that this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has this life. You need to know that. You need to be aware of that. And then it goes on to say in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence. That whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. Now I get that prayer aspect. But when you look at that closely, if you look at 1 John 5, go back to verse 18 and verse 8, right through, it was talking about that eternal life. It was talking about that nature of God. If any man doesn't have the Son, he doesn't have that life. And then he says, I've written these things to you, my brethren. 1 John 5:13. Why? So that you might know. Know what? Be aware. What do you mean aware? Aware of what? Be aware and be conscious of the fact that you've got eternal life. And this is the confidence that you've got eternal life. This is the confidence. Christ is in me. I've got hope of glory. I have confident expectation of the glory.